trying to think of three nice things to say about me. So he worked really hard, worked really hard. Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? Glad you came out here. How many of you had your winter coat this morning? Do I have any shorts in the crowd? I had a $5 gift card if you wore shorts today, so dang. I know some of you are tempted. Some of you are tempted. All right. Well, Happy New Year. Congratulations. You have survived the 2025 Great Ice Storm. I was at Ace Hardware last night, and I thought the Russians had attacked. It was so busy. If you've never been here when I'm preaching the second service, first service a little more conservative, second service a little more unhinged. There's always some vocabulary I use that I think is normal, and then I learn I'm not supposed to use it. But Brett's taking notes back there, so we're going to find out pretty quick. But hey, got to love this weather. If you don't like it, don't worry. We're in Missouri, so on Wednesday it'll be 85 and sunny. So if you want to play some disc golf, hit me up. But I'm a little upset, though. It's nice and cold out. It's a little different out today, and I really wish we had like some hot chocolate or chili when we were done. I almost hit up Mark last night, but then I decided I didn't want to eat skunk and muskrat chili. It didn't sound very delicious to me, so we're just going to go normal church today. But hey, thanks for joining us. Glad you could be here. If you don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Clayton. I get out of my hole once or twice a year and come hang out with you guys. So if you're starting to wonder, does he still work here? Yes, I do, and I'm glad to be here today. So my annual New Year's-ish sermon. We got 30-ish for by y'all. We'll do New Year's-ish for today, but glad to be here. Always a fun time, and I always struggle when it comes to preaching in big people church, because what in the world do I talk about? What do I have to say? And you know, the problem is I like to talk quite a bit, and if you ever get me on a rant or something, I like to go on for a long time. So the question for me is always, what do I talk about? I only got 1 week. I got one service. Once again, Brent told me I couldn't preach on the Nephilim. I'll try again next year. But it's always kind of a tough task for me to decide what in the world I'm going to talk about. And honestly, I was praying and thinking about it a lot, and I kept having this story that you're lucky enough to get to hear today about my dad. All right. And if you've never met my dad, nowadays he's more of a knucklehead, a bit of a goofball. But when I was growing up, he was a pretty intense dude. My dad was a basketball coach, multi-time state championship basketball coach. Growing up, he read a lot of books written by Bobby Knight. I know some of you are old enough to know that's scary. And so he went from coaching high school basketball to then coaching his kids. And my dad rode me and my brother hard growing up. I can't tell you how many feet I had coming flying at me, basketballs coming chucking at your head. But he expected us to do pretty great things. And, you know, my dad's a totally different person now. And I love the way my dad raised us growing up. But sometimes he could be a little scary. Anyone get parented like that growing up? I know some of you did. My father-in-law's here. I know he got beat by his dad growing up all the time. All the time. But I'll never forget my first year of school basketball. And the season was winding down. And my dad at times didn't always think my priorities were in the right spot, you know. If we'd be traveling to games when he was my coach, he'd be mad that I'd, like, have my DS out on the hour-and-a-half trip because I'm not focusing on basketball. Or if we lost and I was reading a book on the way home, it always made him mad. In my first year of school ball, we're getting towards the end of the season. It's our last week. We have our last big tournament, and it's our Rolla tournament. And we had, like, 4 games in a week. It was every single night. And that Sunday, I started to get sick. And Monday, I can't breathe. My nose is stuffed up. I'm coughing stuff up everywhere. I mean, it sounded horrible. I sounded like I've been smoking cigarettes for 20 years. And I go up and I tell my parents I was sick. And my dad looked at me and said, "Don't be a wussy. Get up. We got a basketball tournament this week." And so for the next 5 days, I sat there getting pumped full of DayQuil and Mucinex and whatever it was, feeling like absolute dirt, as my dad's telling me to suck it up and go out there and play some basketball. It was miserable. I can honestly say this is one of the worst weeks of my life. I'm running up and down the court. My lungs are popping out of my chest. I can't breathe. It was horrible. I got cough drops on the bench. It was seriously one of the worst weeks of my life. Somehow we win the tournament. And the next day, believe it or not, Saturday, I had a doctor's appointment for something totally not going on with my sickness. And as I'm in there for my other thing, The doctor starts hearing my cough, and he gets, like, really concerned. And it's always good when, like, you're in there and the doctor starts freaking out. All right, makes you feel good. And he started listening to my lungs. He's doing all this stuff. It turns out I had walking pneumonia, and I just played a week of basketball. It doesn't sound like a very fun time, does it? You know, sometimes when we're going through a hard thing, somebody can come in and make it 10 times worse. Anybody else ever experienced that? Just me. All right. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes it feels like when you're already down on the ground, someone comes in and gives you another kick. And while I was thinking about today, praying about today, I was reminded of a story about a woman who was probably going through the worst day of her life, and another group comes in and tries to give her the final blow, give her another kick. How many of you think you know what I'm talking about here? Anybody? Any guesses? It's not the Nephilim. Just kidding. We're in John chapter 8 today, if you want to join me. John chapter 8. You've all heard the story, but we're going to go over it again today. It says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group, and they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have as a basis for accusing him, meaning Jesus. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. And when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard him began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only one left was Jesus. With the woman still standing there, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now, leave your life of sin." Wow. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. And you know, today I've titled this sermon, "What is Love?" All right. Initially, I started off with the title of "Let's Get Fruity." And then about an hour sitting on that one, I said, that is going to come off the wrong way. You'll understand that in a little bit. But what is love? You know, I love this story because we get a really pure example of love, and we also get a really terrible example on how to treat people. And I love that we have the two extremes in one story, because one we get to see the wrong way, and the other we get to see an awesome example of how Jesus loved people. But today I want to talk about how we love. What is love for us? What does it look like for me and you? Because I don't know about you, not only have I been the guy on the ground getting the second kick, but sometimes I've even caught myself being the one doing the kicking. My first point today. The world we live in is full of hate. The adulterous woman was living in sin. She was caught in her sin. And I'm not justifying anything she did. But then we have the Pharisees coming in the worst day of her life, bringing her into a public square, embarrassing her, and calling her out, and ultimately calling for her to be killed. But you know what? We don't live in too much of a different world today. We live in a world that's just as hateful as some of the people in our story today. Did anybody watch the news this week? Yeah, lots of joyous, cheery people, am I right? We got terror attacks. We can't even get along with our family on Facebook. I mean, people just do not like each other anymore. And it was the same back then. People weren't kind to each other. We had hateful people, and that's what makes Jesus so much different. That leads me to point number two. Jesus showed love and grace when the world didn't. You know, sometimes I think when we think about Jesus, we just think of him as a teacher. When really I want you guys to understand, Jesus was pretty punk rock for his day, all right? He was anti the establishment. Jesus was so much different than we could even fathom being in that time of day. He loved in a different way. And people flocked to him because he was so much different. I honestly love when he gives the greatest comeback. It's like a rap beef or something. He says, "Let any of you who is without sin throw the first stone." All right? Those brothers, the Pharisees, got caught. All right? They got embarrassed. They got made fun of. All right? They were out of there. But Jesus was so much different. He loved in a different way than anybody else did. I think on one hand, we see how the Pharisees act, and a lot of time that's how we as humans treat each other. We kick each other while we're down. We don't show love to one another. We don't lift people up in their darkest of times. But then we have Jesus. And the one word I can describe Jesus with today is Jesus was different. He cared for people in a different way. He loved people in a different way. And Jesus, being the only person in that area who'd never sinned, chose, instead of persecuting this woman, beating her while she was down, he showed her love and grace. Simply put, Jesus was different. Keyboard, come ahead and come on up. My third point today is that me and you, we are called to be different just like Jesus was. You see, the woman who was living in sin, the woman who had been an adulterer, which in kids' church, we say she had boyfriends and girlfriends when she shouldn't have, okay? Just boyfriends and girlfriends, all right? But even though she had made mistakes, she'd been in a rough spot, Jesus loved her in a different way. Believe it or not, you and I encounter people just like her all the time. And I'm not perfect in loving those people either. Sometimes when I go to Walmart in Bolivar, Missouri, and the old people can't walk over 1.5 miles an hour, I get pretty frustrated. I get pretty upset. Or the Convoy of Hope bin by my house that gets robbed every night. Don't take your clothes there. They're going, sometimes it's hard to be gracious in that moment and not yell at them, all right? But Jesus was different. And you and I are called to love in a different way just like Jesus did. It's not always easy to be different, is it? It's not always easy to be the one that stands out in the crowd. It's also easy to sit there and say, where in the world do I start? How do I love people like Jesus did? The great thing is, we don't have to do it alone. We don't have to figure it out by our own. We have the Bible, which I always tell our kids is our guidebook to life. And not only do we have all these wonderful examples to see how Jesus loved people, we also have this wonderful thing called the fruit of the Spirit. And that's the guidebook for me on how our life should look when we're interacting and being around people. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Now, we should do our best to do those on our own. But luckily, it's not all on us either. Because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we have a relationship with Jesus, those fruits are going to naturally grow on our life. And because I didn't earlier, I'm going to brag on Brent real quick. Talk about being filled with the fruit of the Spirit, especially patience. I've worked here for 5 years now, not been fired once. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it always comes naturally. But we're called to be different. And I'm believing in 2025, God wants to do some amazing things, not only in our church, but in your families, in your workplaces, and even to the random people you see robbing the Convoy of Hope in at 11 o'clock at night. And you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be the smartest people in the world. Trust me. Again, I worked here for 5 years, okay? But God can use you in some of the most simple ways to reach people and to show them Jesus. And the Bible teaches that when we have a relationship with Jesus and when we're set apart, when we're different, people see that. And instead of seeing you, they see Jesus. I don't know about you guys, but I want to see revival in our community. I want to see revival in our families, revival in our church. And I want to see people come to know Jesus like never before. I'm reminded of that passage when Jesus said it. It's not the healthy people that need a doctor. It's the sick. It's not always easy dealing with sick people. But we're called to be different and love in a different way. Another verse I want to share with you guys today. You are the light of the world. A town on a hill, or a town built on a hill, cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father. If you've accepted Jesus in your heart, if you're living a life for the Lord, you are the light. So I want to ask you, in 2025, are we going to hide it? Or are we going to be the light? And a lot of that has to do with loving people to the best of our ability. Love is not arguing on the internet. Love is not sitting there with a picket fence, yelling at people, all right? Picket fence, that was way off. A picket, whatever you call it. You know what I'm talking about. But simply being different will show people Jesus. And I don't know about you guys, but my challenge this year is going to be a little bit different. To have love for the people around me. To have joy, to have peace, to have patience. Gentleness with the frustrating people. I believe God's calling us to do great things this year as a church body. To reach people in hard to reach places who've been reached out to before and never responded well. I believe God's going to use this church. So I'm going to ask, if you'll join me on that journey today, will you just stand up with me? Now, you know what? I want to be different this year. I'm going to choose to live a different lifestyle this year. I'm going to choose to live a life that shows love to the people around me. Amen. Worship team, if you go ahead and come on up. Let's sing us out here in a minute. But I'm so excited for what God's going to do in 2025. Are you guys pumped up? Come on. This will be a good time. Yes. The Lord's going to do some awesome things this year. He's doing some awesome things at Brighton. Let's keep going. He wants to do more. Let's close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity on a cold, icy, snowy day that we get to come into your house, Lord, to worship, to praise you, to spend some time in your presence, Lord, to have community with one another. And God, I just pray for every single person in this room, including myself, Lord. Help us to love people the way you did. Help us to love people in a way that sets us apart from the rest of the world. God, I just pray that when people see us, they see you. God, I just pray for revival in our area, in our community, in our church, in our families, Lord. I pray you move in ways that we can't even imagine simply because we just loved people to the best of our ability. I pray this all in your wonderful name. Amen. All right, guys, would you worship out with me today?